The subject again is persecution, and the subject is that we need to be prepared, and I think to be informed from the Word of God and from some facts that would help us to be prepared, because He says it will happen, our Lord Jesus. And so we want to sing some good hymns, like 669, please. Wonderful love, wonderful love. 669.
Sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, tender and true. Out of the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you. Wonderful love, melt in the heart of Jesus, the Savior, His gospel to tell. Joyfully came, joyfully came. Came with the helpless and hopeless to dwell, sharing their sorrow and shame. Seeking the lost, seeking the lost, saving, wanderers yet. Why do they roam? Why do they roam? Love only waits to forgive and forget. Home, weary wanderers, home. Wonderful love, wonderful love, dwells in the heart.
Now, I've selected these next two hymns to show that there are the false in the church and that they are part of this present persecution that we read about in the New Testament especially. And so the next one has to do with 270, the false brethren in the pale order.
Saints, their watch on keeping, their Christ.
I wanted to say that the church has its heresies, schisms, and it says false sons in the pale. And this whole hymn that we have just sung speaks about the difficulties and problems having to do, I believe, with persecution. And now let's sing Jesus, Lover of My Soul, 427, the second. Stand as we sing the last two stanzas and also have a word of prayer.
False and foolish.
Our Father, we're grateful tonight that we can and desire that we might honor you and that you would be pleased with our time together in singing these hymns, fortifying us and strengthening us and preparing us for what is ahead. And as you have mentioned to us, because of our love for the Lord Jesus, they did not love him, they hated him, and so we're told that they also hate those who are of his. We're identified with our Lord Jesus Christ savingly, and we ask tonight that we might be strengthened and encouraged. May the scriptures encourage us tonight, Father. May these facts that we have also give us desire, and that we might be in a prayerful mood, and that our Father, that we might have your best. Lord, help us to be prepared, for we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. If you'll turn, please, to Matthew 5, where we've been, verses 10 through 12, but then I want us to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and the first four verses. And the idea being that we need to be prepared for persecution, according to what our Lord Jesus has said. So in Matthew, we have this last beatitude, and I believe it's probably the most important of the beatitudes, but you can't pick and choose them. You have them all if you're a member of the Lord Jesus. And if you don't have them, it's a good place to say, "Dear Lord, am I real or am I not?" And so verse 10, he tells us that if you're a Christian, you're a child of the King, member of the kingdom of God and kingdom of Christ, he said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is the word of God. And if you go now to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, let's take these two passages together, the first four verses of chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus speaking, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." It seems to me, as we look over this and look at this passage a little more tonight, especially the Gospel of John, chapter 16, that it seems that we, as Americans, and if I want to kind of keep that in mind, that persecution of Christians, especially I'm thinking of America, but not necessarily completely, it seems that one of the things you can say about us that for the most part we are at home in this world. And how often have you heard that they were described as aliens and strangers and sojourners? Have you heard a message on that you're an alien? No? We don't hear much about it. But if you compare biblical Christianity of what you're experiencing and seeing, you see something doesn't add up. I must assure you that I don't want persecution any more than you do. But the point of the matter is our Christianity, for the most part, is foreign from the New Testament Christianity. I'm thankful that we have the liberty we have. You are too, I'm sure. But today, if we're talking about the Christian life and saying, "Well, you be a Christian, you know, it's you're going to be a whole lot better if you're a Christian. You got to be a Christian, and you be a Christian, God take care of you." And these things aren't true, but they major on these things. The health and wealth gospel, and that whatever you do, why, if you give your 10%, God will be pleased with you, and boy, you'll just be making out just fine if you're a Christian. But who talks about this matter that we have before us tonight about persecution? And we're finding that there is what is called a purifying of a Christian life. In purifying metals, when they get hot and they are liquid form, you'll find dross comes up at the top and you clean it off, whether it's gold or whether it's lead or what it is. And I'm finding that as we look at these matters from the Scripture, that the church has accumulated a lot of dross. And that includes us. So God uses the refining fires of persecution if we get too glossy. I don't want that. And I tell you one thing, when you read about the Lord Jesus talking, he never pulls the wool over your eyes. He tells it as it is. You like to have the wool pulled over your eyes so you don't see some of these things because you enjoy your comfort that you have. We find that our blessed Lord made it very clear about these matters. He told the painful features of a Christian life. Ooh. And so here we are. That we're talking about America religion, American religion, and let's face the music. The focus is this world. Yes, it is. This world is the focus. The blessings of this life. And we don't want to hear anything about suffering. That's unreasonable in our American religion. Don't talk to us about those things. Well, maybe it's the reason why we're anemic. If you have ever had the doctor take a blood test of you and he said, you know, you've got a little problem here, you're anemic. And so we, spiritually, I believe, as Americans, we're anemic. And so we're at home in this world. I think that's evident. And we're really concerned about temporal blessings. That's on our list of importance. And we find that religiously we are finding that we're not allowed to say anything about Mohammed in the newspapers, but we sure can do a job on Christ. And we just they're not punished for talking about the Lord Jesus, and Da Vinci Code, and all those things to tear down the Lord Jesus and try to prove that he wasn't God in the flesh. And they don't get hammered at all. But you say something about Mohammed and see what happens to you. I tell you, it's not good. And then we have a tolerance. There's a tolerance from those who are anti-Christians. That's been taken away. They're intolerant. And they can talk about things of the precious things of the Lord. Well, for instance, a modern, and where are you getting some of these facts? Well, I tried to pick out outfits that are reputable. I have here the George Barna Polist facts, and I have also the Christian Solidarity International. I also have the facts concerning freedom from religious foundation, which that's a really corn one. But anyways, some of these things you're going to have to just say, well, okay, I hear you, but you better listen to it. This matter that the desire just to keep looking at temporal blessings, that's what Christianity is all about. But this tolerance, it's not there anymore for Christianity. I was going to say about textbooks, and it's been proven. People have done this, and they've taken present-day textbooks in schools, especially government schools, and those who have scrutinized them and said, you know, something's been left out. They've taken away, like some of us have learned way years ago, about the foundation and how that Puritans and have an influence for our country. They don't consider that important anymore. In fact, I was looking at a document on the TV about the Puritans a couple of weeks ago, and they told me something I never heard of. Did you ever hear that the Puritans, they took a group of men, they went up north of where they were staying, and they wiped out a whole Indian tribe? Boy, I don't know what school I went to. I never heard of the Puritans killing the whole tribe of Indians. So this kind of stuff goes on. I'd like somebody to prove that to me, because I don't believe it. And it's allowed to go on. I believe they were godly folk. And this generation, I believe, is a little bit like Nazi Germany. I've done a little studying on that over the years, so have you. The Germans had to find a scapegoat. They could blame things on. You know, historically, that's been done over and over again. The Roman emperors, they did that. If something happened, they burned down Rome. They said, you know who's responsible? Nero, we believe actually did it. They said, the Christians are responsible. They're the ones. And over, a scapegoat. So the Jews in Nazi Germany, the Holocaust. Well, we got to go to John's Gospel 6. Let's get some Word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 16. What is it? What are you telling us, Lord? He said, I'm going to tell you that you need to be prepared. You can sweet talk all you want to about how things are with you, but you need to be prepared for the future. We do this to the lost. We tell them, as the Scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. And that we Christians need to be prepared to meet the circumstances that may be down the pike. Maybe. No, he said, I want to tell you something. These things are going to happen. Really, Lord, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Well, I'm not a Jew, so it is not applicable. Hold on. Hold on a minute. And these things will they do unto you. They will do. Because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Now I'm going to leave. And Peter, he made a fuss about that, but he said, I'm leaving. And they're going to do this and do that. Not so, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan. But the Lord is saying, I've been with you, and I've been encouraging and helping you, but I'm gone away. Now, you're going to find that these things are happening. Well, now, did they really? Of course they did. Like what? Well, like that verse 2. They put him out of the synagogues. Well, that's not so bad. You don't think so? That was a thing for the Jews that they just wrote them off as not even existing anymore. No longer Jews. They're just gone, like bury them. Oh, that's no problem if you had a family and you had relatives and loved ones and they wouldn't even recognize you. I do have to go from time to time back to Hebrews tonight. And I guess we better start somewhere in here. I want to go to Hebrews 10. And verse 32, Hebrews 10. Why? Well, we're talking about the Hebrews here. He said that they're going to put you out of the synagogues. And the book of Hebrews, written to Christian Hebrews that were Christian Hebrews. And so in this 10th chapter of Hebrews, I start to read there in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. What? A great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What is it saying here? It was saying here that the Lord is saying that by the Paul, he said, you know, you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Oh, things are going fine. I don't want to hear about anything like that. He said, things are fine here, but don't cast therefore away your confidence, because they turned. If you don't recant that you're a Christian, it's death. And some said, I can say that. Caesar is Lord. That's all you have to say. And many did turn. And don't be surprised, as maybe you live long enough, that persecution will come, as we have here in the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Don't be surprised that some folk, they give in. They've been just so conditioned. You know, back to John's chapter 5, or Matthew 5. I tell you, friends, that as we read this, well, before we go back there, let's hit John 16 again. Before we go back, I want to spend a little more time in John 16. I want to see how this thing really is supposed to work out. There's a word or two here that you probably ought to look at, and that is, we're looking at verse 2, and he's saying to the apostles and the Jews, he said, you know, they're going to put you out of the synagogue. And if you have to, you have to be a Hebrew to appreciate that. Well, around here say, hey, they put me out of the Baptist church, I'll go to, you know, Presbyterian church. Well, what difference does it make? That's not what it's talking about. It's greater than that. The closest thing would probably be an Amish situation. But he said, the time, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. That word service is an interesting word. You all know what service means. You know, well, in the Hebrew, it has the idea, the word used other places was translated worship. What? That word service in the other places in the Greek is translated worship. Well, why isn't it here? Well, I didn't translate it, but I'll take the instruction of the Greek here, and that is what? That by doing that, taking the life, whosoever accused you will think that they doeth God a worship. God's pleased. You know, when you hear of somebody committing suicide by packing bombs on their bodies, taking their life and all the people around about them, do you know that that's the same thing as verse 2, the last part? Those people are doing it as a form of worship to Allah. Do you know that? And they say that, you know, these Christians, you know, these people, I'll worship God and blow them out of them, blow them away. Don't be surprised, he said, the day will come when they said, you know, I did a good thing. I got rid of some Christians. And he said, no, yes, listen. If I went back into details and explained to you as I tried to do Fox's Book of Martyrs and show you the early in the Crusades and the Inquisition and all this, how people were burned at the stake, if you just took an ounce of that, my dear friends, you'll see that many of them thought they were doing God, they were worshiping God by killing these so-called Christians, some of our brethren. Doing God's will. God's word. I tell you, when they strap those bombs and they kill hundreds of people, now it's into the thousands. They're offering service to their God. You know, just because you hang the name God on something, that doesn't make it necessarily right. But do it in the name of God. Well, it doesn't necessarily make it right. It's not right that all people, that they have such a horrible thing, and they need to know Christ. Look at verse 3. I want you to get the word here that's going to happen. And the Lord Jesus speaking, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Their will. Certainty. And it's true historically. And they did. They killed him. And the tense of this is a warning to all of us that don't be surprised. You see, I don't see it any way possible in America, and I don't want to talk about it either. But I think verse 4 is saying, get prepared, not to be scared. It isn't the purpose. My purpose tonight is to try to get us all bugged up and scared about this matter, but to be prepared. For it says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember, that is preparation, that may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Now I'm going to be gone, and I'll give you the Spirit of God, and He's the Comforter, and He will comfort you. Please tell me how they could be tied to a stake and they are being burned and that they're singing praises to God. Don't tell me there's not a Spirit of God. Power of the Spirit of God. Don't tell me that we got to get out of anemic situation as a church and that this isn't all that important. Well, all right. I just can't help it. That 2 Timothy, that hits you right between the eyes, 2 Timothy. I don't know if it does you, but it says, things are going fine with me. I don't have anything to do with me. I don't know what he's talking about. Why is he even talking about these things? Well, 2 Timothy 3:12 may be just the reason that you don't want to even talk about it is because it's saying this to us. What's it saying to us? In 2 Timothy 3, there is that verse 12? Yes. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, who said that? God's Word said that, not the preacher. You live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. Say, I'm not getting any problems. Things are going fine. Nobody gets upset. My neighbor's not upset with me. Hey, by the way, did you talk to a neighbor about the Lord Jesus and tell him that he's broken God's commandments, that he's lost? You tell him that God can't accept anything that's unholy and get to heaven? You tell him he needs to turn from his ways and sins and trust Jesus Christ? Try it and see what happens. Maybe 2 Timothy will happen to us. Also, it's a matter of preparation. Yes, it is. Preparation. You're going to read the book of Acts? Just take it and put it in, you can go in second gear and just read over and over, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, sixth chapter, seventh chapter, eighth chapter, and you'll read about persecutions throughout the book of Acts. And every day, somewhere in this world, there is persecution has gone on. Some of it's very bad. I don't like to tell it to you, but that's the facts. We could talk tonight about Nigeria is one of the rapid growing persecutions that's gone on. Boy, you read that, you say, I could cry. You read about the persecutions going on in Pakistan. Those soldiers, they gave some Bibles. The Army, the United States Army, they went into the barracks of the soldiers and said, these Bibles, you dare not have them because you guys are giving them out to the Pakistanis. And they took the Bibles away from the U.S. Army boys. Say, well, so what? Well, Pakistanians, they don't want any Bibles. And the soldiers were giving them out. North Korea, you can hear about the persecutions going there. They said, you folks don't have any idea how it is. We read about China, but now that's more in the news than you think, and how China's treating the underground church and so forth. Those who are registered churches, and they have to agree that they're not going to say things to offend the government. And therefore they're allowed. The registered churches. But the underground churches are not registered. And they kill them, burn down their houses and all that. You say it isn't true. Well, you don't have to take my word for it. Do a little study on your own. In Iran, Saudi Arabia and Vietnam, these are countries presently, right today. Not to some way back there, today, these things are going on. Now I want to spend a little time with a fellow by the name of George Barna. And you say, I don't care about him. Well, he's a polist. Well, he's a man who, he's given 30,000 interviews. He's written 40 books. He's a Christian. I don't know the details of George.
You might find some fault with him, but I'm simply saying that if he has given 30,000 interviews and written 40 books, maybe I'll listen up a little bit. And his ideas, he tries to emphasize the Christian aspect of it. And he was speaking just recently to the, and I wrote it down here, to the Christian Journalist Convention. And it was Evangelical Press Association. And he spoke to them, and he made some of these statements. He said, you know, America, he didn't use the term I'm using, I'm not quoting him, but he said, it's going down the drain. After 30,000 interviews and writing 40 books, you're saying that America, what? He said, Americans divorce, it's abortion, it's sexual transmitted disease, the spousal abuse, the crime rates, he says it's the highest or among the highest compared to other developed nations. America. And you know, I'm a Christian. And you know, we're good Christians. What are you going to say about the facts? That there's America's divorce rate, it's the killing of millions of babies, and the sexual transmitted disease at an all-time high, spouse abuse, crime rate, gangs with young people and so forth. Well, hold on. He says it's the highest or among the highest of all developed nations. Doesn't look very good, does it? And he said, our enemy is moral degeneration, spiritual complacency as Americans, morally. Isn't it too bad? And complacency. I heard that. I've been there. I've done that. I don't learn anything new. I want to hear it. And then he made some of these little quips. Instead of one nation under God, he says, he's speaking. He says, now one nation under ourselves. Self. One nation under self. He said, in God we trust now. He said, it's now in self we trust. He said, being a land of the free and the home of the brave, he said, now it's the land of the indebted and the home of self-indulgence. The home of what? It's a land of indebtedness and the home of self-indulgence. If from a land that believed that you could be all you can, today is now, is to get all you can. Now, George, you're kind of hard. So it shifted. We've shifted from a land that believes you can be all you can to a land now you get all you can. That's the big thing. And he said that the church is focused on building more and bigger buildings and more programs. Say, well, that's nothing new. Well, he's talking to a professional journalist, a Christian journalist, and he says, our emphasis of building more and building bigger buildings and more programs. And we wonder what's happening to the strong spiritual emphasis in America. He also said that we're in the business of raising and spending more money. Instead of instilling values and morality, these are things that really is taking our emphasis. He's talking to Christians. And he said, now I don't have the gift of discouragement, fellows, but or people, but he said, I want you to get the facts. And the Christian Solidarity International made some statements, and I thought, he said, how many people are being killed yearly. And I'm sorry, this is go back quite a ways. This is old statistics. 150,000 Christians were killed in the year 2000. Has it gotten any better? No, I don't think it has. the Freedom From Religious Foundation, they are distributing anti-Christian pamphlets in the public schools to the children. And one of them is entitled, We Can Be Good Without God. That's in our public schools. Isn't that wonderful? Teaching them we can be good without God. You know, this is what's going on. So some of us old folks, we'd say, well, maybe we got through it, so yeah, I know. What a shame. What a shame. But behind it all, they're saying that Christians are hate mongers and that they are potential terrorists. Hate mongers and potential terrorists. That's how they describe us. And that, as I told you, the textbooks, the school textbooks, the Christian influence, they have proven it. You can check it out for yourself, is that the early Christians were, their influence was systematically removed. And they're being indoctrinated. And then you wonder why your children and grandchildren, your relatives, so to speak, and perhaps you haven't done your job, you say, I can't understand it. Well, they're being indoctrinated. Indoctrination is something, it's hard to get out of your system. And the Time magazine talked about the violence that is found in teens. By the age of 16 years of age, the Time magazine said the typical child witnesses 200,000 acts of violence. Are you awake enough to know when you turn the TV that almost anything that has to do with movies or something has to do with violence? Evil communication corrupts good manners. You wonder why? I think that really what we're trying to do is lead up to totalitarianism. And the more they can get us involved in things, the more they can say, you sit down, you do this, and you do that, or you're going to jail. You don't say this. And I mentioned to you before how that just recently the House down in Washington, they passed this business of especially lined up for preachers not to speak against the homosexuals. And it's really an amendment for homosexual approval. It really is. And it's going to go to the Senate. I'm sorry that this, I have this statement here that in the school system, the sex education and anti-Christ curricula, it's against God, there's against prayer, against free expression of religion, and it's, we become the most profane and violent society in the whole industrial world. And then we get up and say, God bless America. And we need to pray, God bless America. But how can you expect God to bless America when we act like we do? You're here in the world too. Say, well, I'm not doing anything. All right. Maybe you're not. But you're part of the system. So you say, well, that's the dark side. That's a dark view. But Hebrews, and I'm going back there again to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, it may encourage you to see that it isn't just necessary accused of being the dark view. Look at Hebrews 13. These Christians that were persecuted in the book of Hebrews, and down to the 12th verse of Hebrews 13. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You see, I don't understand that. Well, they were seeking a city that was to come, the Holy Jerusalem. The city that lasts forever and ever and ever. They believed it so strongly that they were prepared. They were filled with a longing. And that is the heavenly longing. And they wanted to be free from the addictions that we Americans may have, and that is the comfort zone. Addiction to entertainment in churches. Comfort zone. I want to be comfortable. And these people, they were persecuted and said, you know what? And the Lord Jesus said, you too, you can go out forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Because we don't have any continuing city, but we seek one to come. We got to get rid of the holding back part on our praying and so forth. The matter of Darwinism is still rampant. You know, that Darwinism is that basically New Age authors are coming out with more and more. They're saying the evolution of mankind and man is an animal and get rid of those that are holding back the evolutionary information. You're holding back. And I think the time's coming very soon that there'll be the getting rid of the elderly. Get rid of the onboard babies. And I was just recently visiting a nursing home, and a person I'd seen about, no more than 2 months ago I'd visited. And they're in nice shape and talking and so forth. And when I went to visit this person, it laid stretched out. And I said, oh yeah, I thought to myself, we did the same thing in the hospital. We fed them Thorazine so their tongues hung out. I'm wondering if it isn't a way of getting rid of the old people. Oh, not in America. Oh, no, that might happen in China, but not in America. Well, okay. I hope you'd be happy if you don't want to accept some of those things. But I know this. If you read present-day literature, it ought to grab your heart. You ought to be praying. You ought to say, Lord, I don't know whether I'm prepared. Maybe I'd be one of those that say, I'll recant. I don't want to go through persecution. I don't want to be persecuted. Maybe you'd be a turncoat. And we need to be strengthened in the faith.